song, Lord, you are calling your people. Lord, you are calling the people of your kingdom to battle in your name against the enemy. To stand before you, the people who will serve you. Kingdom is released, not the earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. The darkness of this age must be away. Release your power to flow throughout this land. Let your glory be revealed as we praise. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Please be seated. Just some notices for today. So Thursday, it's the prayer meeting right there. Don't miss it. And Wednesday, there's a board meeting at 6. And then we have birthdays. Let's start at Wednesday. Andrew Lawrence, congratulations. But you are beaten by Rumere, whose birthday it is today. And she's only one. Congratulations. You belong to the Lord. You look. Happy birthday to you. And she's hiding in the back there under a huge sign that says I'm a 1 year old unicorn. Welcome to everyone, visitors, long lost brothers and sisters. Welcome back. Lord, we just want to open this day and dedicate it to you, this service, this worship, these songs, Lord, it's all for you, for your glory and your kingdom. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. If there's anybody who'd like to share something, right after this song.
Heavenly armor into the land, the battle belongs to the Lord. No weapons that fashioned against us will stand, the battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. Power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. We'll raise up a standard, the power is light, the battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord.
Is there anybody that would like to share something? Nobody?
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to ask Sandeep and John to come forward and to briefly share something about themselves and their country. About 2 minutes, thereabouts.
Yes, hi, my name is Sandeep Puran and I am from India. My city name is Ranchi and I'm really privileged to be here. And this is my first time in Africa, South Africa, yeah, and I'm really glad to see you all. I'm learning so many things. I'm learning how to eat through a spoon, and I really like the culture and hospitality and everything. I'm really learning here, and I am really privileged to meet your pastor. We spended the last night, last evening, so many stories, how he's doing here. And my country is competing with China, not in terms of technology, but population. So we have 1.5 billion population there, and there Christianity is only 4.5%. So I would like to ask everyone, please remember us in prayer. We are trying to do something. We are gathering together there, and we are trying to reach some people groups, and we are trying to reach some villages where there is no gospel. So we are trying somehow. Even we are learning, I'm not that much well educated in terms of theology, but I am here to join ALICT so I can learn and I can apply in my place. So really I'm blessed to be here, and thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm... yeah. My name is John Sadiq, and I'm from Tanzania, and I'm really happy to be here in South Africa. It's not my first time to be here, but I'm really happy to be here in my second time at church here, and I'm really blessed. And yesterday also I had very great blessing to be at Pastor's house to spend time together, and it was very, very good blessing. Just in short, I'm from Tanzania. Maybe some of you, you've been there. And just one prayer point about my country. Now we are in the election time, and it's kind of hard time because a lot of things underground is going on. So we ask for the prayer that God will stand with us, and we choose the person that we want to be in that place. Yeah, but otherwise, God bless you so much, and yeah, be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else would like to share something? Okay. Our first song was, Lord, you are calling the people of your kingdom to battle in your name against the enemy. So that's the calling. To help is the heavenly armor. But through all that, we can find security under his wing. Please stand.
Living under the shadow of his wing, we find security. Standing in his presence, we will praise. living under the shadow of His wings, we find security, standing in His praise, we will breathe.
Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you've paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came, gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. All I know, your forgiveness I embrace. Seated on the cross, crowning now with many crowns, and victorious, lying lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, dying of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. Lord, thank you that we can come before you and sing your praises, because you are worthy. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Creator, our King, the King of Glory. May your name be lifted high throughout the earth. May your kingdom come. Please be seated. We'll be taking up collection now. And this song is "Let There Be Love Shed amongst us." And where does it say? If you don't have love, you're like a clanging cymbal. You can have all these things, but without love. Let's sing this song.
Let there be love shed amongst us. Let there be love in our eyes. May now this love sweep this nation. Cause as a long arise, give us a fresh understanding, brotherly love that is real. Let there this love shed amongst us, let there be love. Let there be love shed among us. Let there be love in our eyes. May now this love sweep this nation. Cause us, O Lord, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding. Brotherly love that is real. Let there be love shed among us. Let there be love.
Good morning. I came across this and I would like to read it to you. Sometimes I try to change these things into a prayer. But I think I'm going to read this just like this, that everybody can appreciate it. God has a perfect plan for all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. His plan is complete in great detail, and it will lead all who follow him to an abundant life. But only a few ever joy the fulfillment of God's plan, because most don't know how to listen to God's leading and follow him. Instead, they choose, either willfully or ignorantly, to go their own way. You can walk in the perfect will of God if you will learn how to hear from him and follow his instructions. But listening to him is your decision. God won't force you to choose his will. However, he will do everything he can to encourage you to say yes to his direction. We thank Jesus Christ for leading us to him. Amen.
Susan will now lead us in the prayer of intercession.
Morning. So those of you who know me well know that I love old books and old ideas and old writers. And as I was preparing for this week's intercessionary prayer, I went back and I read some prayers by some of the old church fathers, like St. Augustine and Clement of Rome. And they're wonderful, inspirational prayers by some wonderful people of God. And what they say is still so applicable to our current situation. But there's an even older prayer, a prayer that the Lord Jesus himself taught to us. And this week I read the Message version, the Eugene Peterson version of the Lord's Prayer. And he changes, you know, if you've ever read the Message, he changes things up a little bit. And he changed the last bit of the Lord's Prayer, in the one in Matthew, to say, "And your will be done in me and my nation today." And that kind of struck me, because the word "me" doesn't come into the original version of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord didn't teach us to pray, "Forgive my trespasses," or "Give me my daily bread." He taught us to pray, "Give us our daily bread." And I was starting to wonder, who do we think about when we say, "Give us our daily bread"? Is it just us? Is it just myself? Is it just our immediate family? Is it just the people sitting in church with us? Or do we include those living on the streets in poverty? When we say, "Forgive our trespasses," do we include those who are in prison? When we say, "Lead us not into temptation," do we include those suffering from addiction? And when we say, "Deliver us from evil," do we include those suffering oppression or living in war-torn countries? So I want to challenge us today. Can we cast the net wider when we pray the Lord's Prayer? Can we include anyone and everyone our minds can conceive of, and anyone our hearts can hold? So let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. And when we pray "us," can we include as many people as possible? So let us pray. Our Father, can we pray together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you, Susan. We're going to, before we continue, I just want to thank you, Sandeep and John, for sharing with us. I want to encourage the congregation that you would continue in prayer for India and Tanzania. And now you've met or heard these brothers speak. You know, one of the things that struck me, Sandeep was talking about India, and he was saying, now I forget the name of the bill, but a law was passed that if you convert from, assuming from Hinduism to Hinduism, you need to get permission. You need, am I right, Sandeep? Yeah, you need to actually go, and there's a form you complete for this. Now, but they have freedom of religion. Sometimes we have a different understanding of freedom of religion. And so I do want to encourage you, and obviously there's been protests about that. Sandeep, was that in 2017? When did that law come out? 2017. In September 2017. Thank you, Sandeep. So I do want to encourage you to pray for India, for the believers there. You mentioned 4.5% of a total of about 1.5 billion people. And also for Tanzania. That, you know, Africa has got a lot of young people. That you pray for opportunities that these young people would hear the gospel and would truly be able to hear God's call and respond to that call in a way. You know, very often there's a lot of gospel, there's a lot of teaching in Africa. A lot of gospel teaching as such, but it's not really the gospel. It's mixed with all kinds of other stuff. So please pray for Tanzania specifically and India as well. I now need to constitute our annual congregational meeting, and hereby do so. We have a quorum, and our last meeting was adjourned. There was an objection, a good objection, because the balance sheet did not balance. It was out a bit. When I think Moira spoke to Christine about it and asked what's happening, and Christine lost her husband at the time she was compiling this, and that's where the errors crept in, and she's corrected it. If anybody wants to see it, we've got the page that was at issue. And so I want to ask, is there a proposal that we receive the financial statements? We do. Son and seconder, are we all agreed? Agreed. Thank you. And then the only other business is to remind or to mention again, last week we elected Senator Lawrence as an elder to the session of St. George's Presbyterian Church. Welcome as an elder to the session. I trust the Lord will use you as you serve St. George's and the wider body. For those of you who don't know, that's my wife. All right, we've dealt with that. On the 21st of September, we're having a brunch. You know, I'm looking forward to it, and I really want to encourage everybody to participate and to be here. Now, there's a list of things that we need. Brunch, we're going to eat together, so after the service. So we don't know how many people will attend, and so we have to cater for a larger number than we might actually be here. So if you put your name down to bring anything, please choose something that your family normally uses, and then you can take it home afterwards. All right? The list of requirements allows for more than one person to bring an item, so please write down how much of whatever it is that you can bring. And the list is there. There's a clipboard with a pen. Please just jot down your name and what you can bring. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your people, for this congregation, for its leaders, and we commit ourselves to you, Lord, praying that we would hear your voice, that we would discern your voice amongst the many voices that call to us, and that we would walk faithfully in the way that you are leading us. And so we commit the work that lies ahead of us in Jesus' name. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know the one time there's not water, then you feel thirsty? Senator, can you? So our scripture reading this morning, there are two scriptures. We're going to be reading from Romans 8, verses 12 to 17, and Romans 11 to 24. I need to drink before we can start proper. So I'm reading from Romans 8:12-17 first. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And then we go to Romans 11, from verse 11. Again I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their full inclusion bring? I'm talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. I take pride in my ministry, in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will then say, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? This is the word of the Lord. Lord, would you shine the light, your light, on your word, that we may comprehend it, understand it, and apply it in our lives. So Lord, guide us. Open our hearts and our minds and our ears, that we may carefully hear you and follow you and be obedient in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever stood on a mountaintop and looked back at the road behind you? That is what Romans 8 feels like, if you read it. And Paul starts with verse 1. He says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's how he starts Romans 8. And then he leads us through deep valleys. Speaks to humanity's sin, the failure of the law to save,
And then the struggles of the flesh. But at the peak, at the top, he bursts into song. And if you look at Romans 8:39, it's like this, he says, well, there's all of what he says, but basically what it ends up is nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is what he says. Verse 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, he's saying nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. But when you read and when you observe history, a hard question arises. If nothing can separate us from God's love, what about Israel? They had the promises, the covenants, the temple, the patriarchs. And yet many of Paul's brothers and sisters had rejected Christ. Had God's word failed? And if God's word to them failed, how can we trust his promises to us? And when we look at Romans from about 9 to 11, we see that it's actually a reflection of Paul's spirit-filled wrestling with this question. And so let's briefly, quickly walk with him through some of the aspects, letting the text itself raise questions and give the answers. And so one of the first things we need to ask is, who really belongs to God's people? Paul begins chapter 9 with great anguish. He says, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people. That's love. You see, he's grieving that many Jews, many of his people, had rejected Christ, had rejected the Messiah. But here is his shocking statement. He says, it is not as though God's word had failed. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. You can see that in chapter 9, verse 6. And so the text itself raises this question. If not all ethnic Israel belongs to true Israel, who does? And Paul then continues and he answers this question with stories of, or the narrative of, Isaac and Ishmael and Jacob and Esau. You see, he points out that belonging to God's people is never about bloodline or nationality. It's always been about God's promise. About God's promise and God's calling. We see there that Abram had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Both were his flesh and blood. But only Isaac was the child of promise. And later Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And both were born of the same parents. But God chose Jacob. And so maybe it helps us to think of a sports team. You see, just because you put on the jersey doesn't mean you're going to play. You're on the roster. There's an official list chosen by the coach. In the same way, not all who wear the outward identity of Israel are part of the true inner covenant people of God. And today the same is true. Being born Jewish doesn't automatically make someone God's covenant child. Nor does being born into a Christian home or Christian family. Belonging only comes by faith in Christ. In Galatians we read, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abram's seed. So who really belongs to God's people? The second question, we see, why did Israel stumble? Why did they fall? If Israel was chosen, why did so many miss Christ? Surely this is what they should have been looking forward to, the Messiah.
The prophets had foretold this, the coming of the one who would save the whole world. And Paul's answer is because they pursued righteousness through the law, not through faith. They tried to climb the ladder of works when God had placed an open door before them in Christ. So listen to the simplicity of the gospel in Paul's words. He says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then he says the following, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. And so maybe it's helpful if we imagine two people standing before a mountain. Maybe even, what's it, Kilimanjaro in Tanzania? Arusha. One tries to climb it, well, walk it or climb it with ropes and maybe just with a pole, with ropes and sweat, going step by step. And the other receives a helicopter lift to the top. You see, that is the difference between works righteousness and faith. Israel tried to climb, and God offered the gift of a helicopter ride. You see, this is where Romans 8:13 speaks into our lives. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds or the works of the body, you will live. Living according to the flesh means striving in our own strength, trying in our own ability to please God, like Israel did with the law. Whereas living by the Spirit means trusting in Christ, committing your ways to Him, letting His Spirit shape us, mold us, and move us. And so whether Jew or Gentile, our hope is not and should not be in effort, but in Christ. Thirdly, we see Paul raises another question. Are Jews and Gentiles separate peoples of God? This is the question. If Israel stumbled, if they fell away, and I remind you of the parable that Jesus told about the wicked tenants who killed the landlord's son, the owner's son. He had sent them messengers and to get his grapes, but they beat them up. And then he sent his son, thinking they would respect him. But they said, this is the heir, let's kill him. And when at the end of that parable, Jesus asks, so what do you think the owner will do to these wicked tenants? They will come to a wretched end. And Jesus then says, and the king will take away his kingdom from them. And so Paul asks this question, if Israel stumbled, is their story over? And in his answer, he uses a powerful image, the olive tree. Most of us would be familiar with an olive tree. And God's covenant people are like this tree. Some branches, unbelieving Jews, were broken off. And wild branches, other nations, Gentiles, were grafted in. But I want you to notice there's only one tree. Not two peoples of God. Not Israel over here and the church over there. It's one covenant family rooted in God's promise and nourished by Christ. And so Paul warns the Romans, he warns the Gentiles, he warns us, do not become arrogant. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. I want you to think again of an adoption, a process some of us may be familiar with, but know how it works. You see, the adopted child doesn't replace the biological child. Nor does the biological child have more claim to the parent's love. Both belong by grace. And so in God's family tree, Jew and Gentile alike belong to God through faith. And that raises a number of issues. Firstly, we must never look down on Jewish people. They are the natural branches, beloved for the sake of the patriarchs and their unique history. But at the same time, we must not elevate them above other nations, as though God prefers one ethnicity or nation over the rest. Paul says clearly there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. You can see that in chapter 10, verse 12. To look down on Jews is arrogance. To elevate them above others is favoritism. Both are distortions of the gospel, of the truth that Paul holds forth to us. We see that in Christ all nations, all people groups stand on level ground, equally in need of God's grace, equally welcomed through faith. And so we could ask, well, what about the future of Israel? And this is where, in verses 11 onwards from 25, Paul reveals a mystery. He says, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. I also want to point out at this point that this doesn't mean that the modern political state of Israel is automatically God's covenant people. I want you to think about that. In the same way that America or any European country or South Africa, that its government is Christian. What it does mean is that God hasn't abandoned the Jewish people. His mercy, his plan is bigger than what we can see. And so we need God's revelation to understand it. One day in his timing, he will bring many to faith in Christ. I'm talking about the Jews. And then Paul, we see, ends the passage with worship. He speaks about the depth. We have time. So he ends this passage. In other words, I see it as a section from verses 9 to 11. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths, beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. And so I hold this before you because Israel is in conflict. The political state of Israel, the people, the Jewish people, are in conflict and there's fighting. And it seems to me when I hear people speak, they're not quite sure what to make of it. And so how should we view the Jewish people today? Firstly, I believe with gratitude. For the scriptures, the scriptures came through them. I mean, came from God, but God used them. For the Messiah, Jesus came into the world as a Jew. With humility, we also need to remember we are grafted into this olive tree. But also with equality. They are not above, nor are they beneath any other nation. And then I'm hoping you would see the following, the last part, how we should view them through the eyes of mission, the way Paul sees them. Longing as Paul did for them to come to know Christ. These people who've rejected the Messiah. And so let us be in prayer for them. Don't align yourself with political ideologies. To the left or to the right. May you hear the Spirit of God on this matter. You see, Romans 8 to 11 tells one great story. Firstly, that God's covenant people are defined not by heritage, not by nationality or politics, but by faith in Christ.
and importantly, life in the Spirit. So, for us today, don't trust in flesh, in heritage or works. Live by the Spirit. Make no provision for the flesh. So, don't despise the Jewish people, but don't idolize them either. Stand in humble gratitude for where we are at, knowing that we are in God's family only by God's grace. Not that we have any inherent right to it. And lastly, trust in God's faithfulness. Trust in His faithfulness. The God who has not abandoned Israel will never abandon you. It's His, we are His olive tree. And He's zealous over us. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank You for calling us into Your covenant family by faith in Christ. Help us to live by the Spirit each day, putting to death the deeds, the works of the flesh, and walking in holiness. Lord, would You teach us humility, that we would never look down on others, nor elevate one nation or people or person above another. But help us to see all as equally loved and welcomed by You. Lord, fill our hearts with gratitude for the Jewish people, for Your word, the Holy Scriptures, and for the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came, who was born as a Jew. And so, Lord, would You empower us to share Your mercy and grace, Your forgiveness, Your acceptance with all nations. May we do this in love and in truth. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our last song, We Walk the Land.
We'll walk this land with hearts on fire, and every step will be a prayer. With Isaiah, living all men, silent singing fills the air. 2,000 years, and still the flame is burning bright. The land, waiting on the end, waiting once again. The flame of battle, the light of darkness, flaming bright, the glorious day. Some will love it, some will surrender, let it shine, let it shine. Let the dark proclaim, Jesus' name, the sword is strong. In the forest, His ankle children, and the nation with His song. With flame and brighter, out of darkness, filling night and glorious day. Sounding louder, love is on me. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Before I do the benediction, I just want to report back to you. Mervyn and I went to the children's home and we started our chess club. I say our chess club, their chess club, to teach them. Some of them can play and others are learning to play. Do pray for us for the interaction and the discipling opportunity we have with the children. And so that's the one announcement. And the other encouragement is to consider our Christmas season mission. But I've got, and if you're not on part of that group and you want to be part, you can either, sure, the link would still be there. You can click on our WhatsApp group, church WhatsApp group, or just ask me to add you. And for those of you that have been discussing this, please add something to the group, some of your ideas, that we can pray about it and see how we would go forward with our Christmas mission event or events. Men, go now as God's covenant people, not living according to the flesh, but by the Spirit. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So stand firm in humility, knowing you are grafted in by grace. Live in gratitude, knowing nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And may the mercy of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.